It's Roberta.
And this is Ryan, and this is the Midweek News.
On Art Blog Radio. I had four things I wanted to mention just briefly in the news portion. You probably got the email from Vox Populi that said there's a town hall meeting that Sherelle Parker has called for tomorrow night at 6 p.m. I really think we ought to shout that out.
I got several emails from several different people on that exact topic, mm-hmm. and the birthday cake they made, too, for her.
For who?
For the mayor. The mayor's birthday cake. It said, happy birthday, Mayor Parker, save Chinatown.
Is she having a birthday tomorrow?
I guess. I mean, I don't know when her birthday is, but somebody knows, and somebody got it ready.
How funny. Okay.
But it sounds like this was a last-minute meeting call, which is kind of a—I don't know if that's good or bad. But
right, me neither.
Make me think it's bad.
Yes, it does make me think it's bad. Like there's something that she's going to endorse, or in the best of all possible worlds, she might stop it. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So I think we should shout that out. Scott Kipp up at Arcadia, I want to talk just briefly about that. It has an opening on September 12th, and it's like he constructed a little pseudo-proto house inside the gallery that you can wander up some stairs and look around, and kind of a mystery cabinet. Should be really marvelous. Cabinet of marvels. Then Stefan Salisbury died. He was an arts writer for the Enquirer for many years. Really good, kind of about the business of art, business side, more than reviews. But he knew everything. He knew everybody. Everybody read him. He interviewed Libby and me when Art Blog turned 10. There was a wonderful write-up in the Enquirer that he did. He was a very generous, good writer. So that's really sad that he died. He was 77. Then there's a powwow at Cherry Street Pier on the 21st and 22nd, the Seeds Philly, celebrating 5 years. Another celebration, a print shop that I just heard about called 705 West Print Shop. It's in Jenkintown. They've been there for 10 years. They have a sustainable, non-toxic materials platform. They have a creative space for people to come and work and a gallery. So I'm always happy to hear about other things going on, and I was not aware of them. So those are my four things.
I could fill a couple of sheets, but I try to keep it to three.
Anyway.
All right, well, let me get to my three things then.
Yes.
Get them out of the way.
Yes.
So obviously, I do my theater pick, and right now is Fringe as well as Cannonball. So there's a lot of events going on. Cannonball is running through the 29th of September, and they're main locations are going to be Icebox Moss, the Christ Church Neighborhood House. And then there's also some that are going to be outdoors as well. So take a look at those. Some are going to be in Fairmount. Some are going to be along the river. Should be some interesting shows. So I wanted to point out that till the 11th of September is the Black Circus Week. So if you haven't seen that, that's going to be really interesting to see. They've been going for a few days already. I think they started on the 6th. This is part of Black Circus Week. So this is part of those festivals, and we'll have links there. Those shows are ongoing, and there's a lot of different things that are happening there. So take a look at that. Esperanza has announced their latest season. So if you live in that neighborhood, enjoy that. Those shows, those are also up now. And that looks like a good season. Speaking of people who have passed away, James Earl Jones passed away. Darth Vader.
Yeah. Huge loss. He was 93. So he had a good life, I think.
He had a long run. Yeah. The annual Plastic Club Drawing Marathon, which I don't know why I love quilt-a-thons and draw-a-thons, but I think that could be a lot of fun. That's coming up on the 15th. Could be fun. 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Maybe. You like that? Yeah, maybe the people don't stay there the whole day. Maybe they come in shifts, you know, shift work.
I'm sure, but it could be really, you know, if you're in a funk or want a spot or want to switch something up, sometimes you just need a little extra push or whatever, or need to mix it up a little bit. This could be a fun way of doing that. So that's coming up this Sunday, the 15th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I'm trying to redesign my house in a way of like the Danish hygge, the comfy setting.
Okay.
Or I've never been to Denmark, but I spent quite some time in the Netherlands, and I can't do the guttural G, but they say gezellig.
Oh my.
And so the gezellig is the is also that kind of cozy.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's spending time with people can be cozy, or the ambiance can be cozy, or sipping some tea by candlelight can be cozy. So just kind of a lot of different things can fit that. So kind of rearranging my spaces in my house too, with that kind of mindset. So
more pillows.
Pillows keeps coming up. Pillows are a great answer. So I need more pillows, and I fixed my record player. So I think that's cozy.
That is.
I had to resolder some of the old lines. So I think it's pretty old.
Oh my God. Speaking of hygge, when I was in New York, we were uptown walking to the Guggenheim in the Upper East Side. And there's a place called, we were dying for coffee. So it was late afternoon, Ole and Steen. And it was hygge. It was Danish. And
love it.
Delicious coffee and amazing breads, and a coffee cake that was to die for, just a cinnamon, very simple cinnamon coffee cake. Highly recommend it. I couldn't tell you where it is, but you can look it up, Ole and Steen. I will look it up. We'll put that in the links in the transcription. Yeah, that was fun. That was a nice. It's nice when you stumble upon places unexpectedly and you have no expectations whatsoever. And it was just wonderful. They had couches to sit on.
Yeah,
and
I love
leather,
that.
Leather, you know, kind of Danish modern furniture next to the couches and low coffee tables.
But I was going to say, I was curious about, and maybe we'll have to get your husband's input on this, but as we're coming, I don't know if you've been as inundated by election. I get texts.
Yes.
It's like, what am I signing up for political texts for? I've never done that because that would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep saying, hey, I know you don't live in my district, but would you come out and support? No,
yes.
I will not. Are
That's
you kidding
right.
Me?
Tammy Baldwin.
First of all, I don't know who you are. You're the chief of staff of some Yahoo in some district I don't even know. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if you're legitimate. And how did you get my number? And you know, delete it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I've just been inundated, but because I find so much of the political news to just be just shy of fancy and whimsical, and it sounds of bipolar. One day it's this, and next day it's like back and forth, but it's not that dramatic of a shift back and forth day to day. And so it's interesting. The podcast I try to listen to, or the news that I try to incorporate, is a little bit more or significantly more consistent in their viewpoints and consistent in their fact checking and their perspectives, and a little less meandering this line to see what sells or what people will respond to and react to. It's like, we're always creating news now for an algorithm. Like, what gets people excited? Okay, this is the one then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Screaming headlines. I mean, that's always been the way you sell newspapers, right? Think of the old trope of the newsboy on the corner hawking the newspapers, and you'd have shout out the screaming headlines. They would always be what sold a newspaper. So not necessarily the content in the article, but the headlines would be inflammatory, and that still holds. There's too much information.
Yeah.
We are bombarded on a 24/7, 365 basis with too much information. We don't need all that information. I mean, I love information. I really like information, but I don't need to know all of it every day. Every minute of every day, you know, it's like, leave me alone, please.
Very much inundated with just more.
Since we're meandering, I'm just going to meander right into another article that I read today. This was an op-ed piece on the New York Times by Liz Magic Laser, who is an artist, experimental video and performance. And Libby and I have been following Liz Magic Laser for quite a while. We first encountered her, I can't even tell you when and where, but she's pretty fascinating if you look her up. The article that she had was photo-based, and so it was about the use of the raised fist. Who gets to use the raised fist? And if you think historically, the fist raise was a Black power gesture.
Uh-huh.
And Black athletes used it at the Olympics in Munich.
Right.
You know, all the Black power people used it back in the 60s and 70s. And suddenly you have Donald Trump raising his fist, you know, after there was the assassination attempt, and he gets up and there's blood on his face. And the first thing he does is raise his fist. And so she shows all these fists raised. And the question is, whose gesture is it? And who, you know, it's like, who owns the gesture? Can you own a gesture? And what does it mean? Has it crossed over to mean white power now? She also has a picture of Josh Hawley on January 6, 2023, where he was giving a white power, I guess, let's call it that, sign, raised fist,
oh, God.
Sign to the insurrectionists.
Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know. And there's so much symbolism in a raised fist. And there was some picture of during the rise of communism, or no, the rise of fascism, I'm sorry, and unions in England, there was a scene that was a picture of in Trafalgar Square in the background around the statues in the middle of Trafalgar Square. There were all these fascists with their hands, you know, they don't use the closed fist. They use the hands up, the Heil sign, the hands up, and surrounding them closer to the exurbs of the internal scene were the union guys with their fists closed and raised. And so it was this great gestural sort of congregation of the two opposing gestures. So, but we can't use, I mean, nobody uses, well, I guess they do in the right-wing militias use the Heil sign. But apparently the closed fist, raised fist is a problem now. It's sort of, nobody owns it. Everybody's using it. What does it mean?
Yeah, things come and go like that. I think there's a lot of symbolism that gets reinterpreted, reused, and reappropriated for its current usage and purposes and whatever people find it needs to be used for. So,
right. Yeah.
Words do that too. Words have come and gone.
Indeed.
Change meaning.
Indeed.
Like I have a lot of queer friends, which queer meant a lot of different things in the last 100 years. So, and now
exactly.
It's something that's owned.
So. That's right. And gay too. Gay means something different. Yeah. 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 Speaking of words, over the weekend, I was in New York and we went to Art on Paper, which was marvelous. Bertrand Productions from Philadelphia, they had a booth, and Kitty Corner from that was Common Wheel. And both booths were really very lively, and I hope they did very well. They had a lot of fun things that they were both showing. There was another gallery that I saw, Michelle Marriot from Long Island, used to be in New York, showing a French fauve, second generation fauve painter, really luscious, beautiful paintings, abstract, you know, with the fauve color palette, the oranges and greens and blacks. And oh my gosh, it was so gorgeous. And then someone who I think was sort of a self-taught artist, Thierry, T-H-I-E-R-R-Y, is it Thierry? Thierry Lefort, L-E-F-O-R-T, had some very film noir paintings that looked like they were right out of, you know, Los Angeles Raymond Chandler novel, if he had made a graphic novel. You know, no people in the scene, but tall, towering palm trees, and roads that seemingly went nowhere and no cars on them. And they were beautiful, beautiful. Three colors only. The brown paper was in the background. black and this dense, gorgeous Prussian blue or aquamarine blue that looked like it was tempera paint. It had no sheen to it whatsoever. It was just a dense pigmented color. It was, I wanted them. They were so beautiful. Then we went up to the Guggenheim and saw my sister and I was with my sister Kate, and we went up to the Guggenheim to see the Jenny Holzer, which I'm swinging around to the words again. It took me a minute. Jenny Holzer is, of course, known for her word art. That is mostly what she does. And in 1977 to 79, she wheat pasted her word art all over Soho and New York. And some of the things she called them truisms. And for example, abuse of power comes as no surprise. That's one of my favorites. But there's also a lot of professionals are crackpots. Bad intentions can yield good results. Categorizing fear is calming. I mean, to a certain degree, it's kind of a word salad that mm-hmm. she throws at you. And at the Guggenheim, it was on the ramp, the inner wall of the ramp that snakes up. And it was just this marvelous word salad that you couldn't really stop to read it so much. Because it was just mesmerizing in the movement and the color. And this was a reinstall, or not a reinstall, but a recreation of what she had installed in the Guggenheim a long time ago with LED lights. And I'm not sure if these were LED lights or not. I don't know what the technology is, but it seemed to me it might have been video, like she videoed it, but I don't know. You'd be able to figure it out. And if you put your hand over the railing where the LED lights were, you could see that there were like little individual light bulb looking things. So it may well have been strips of LEDs.
And were they moving? Were the words moving, or were they stationary?
Oh no, they moved like a snake.
Like a ticker tape kind of.
Yes, it was exactly
like
a ticker tape.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
From the bottom, starting at the bottom, and going up to the top. And it was multiple. So one would start at the bottom and snake up to the second level, and then it would start all over again. And so they would be twinning. And I mean, it's five levels high. So there were five levels scrolling at you. I was initially not wanting to go see this because I said, oh, just spectacle. You know, I've seen it before. But it was very moving, actually, to sit with it and let it sort of take over your visual field. It was beautiful, and it was the idea of information coming at you nonstop was exactly what we talked about earlier. We get information thrown at us from all different places, and this was just sort of a visual representation of that as well.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm often, when I'm reading, I often have a notebook with me to write down little pieces that I find powerful or transportive or useful, something I want to reflect on later. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that would be something up my alley for the, you know, truisms or whatever my mother calls them.
Yeah. I think the show is up at the Guggenheim until the 29th of September. So there's time to run up and see it. It's in its last days. It's been there since June, I think. So all summer long. And you can read her truisms online. There are places that have them, you know, aggregated.
That's interesting. I think that could be really powerful. And I would love to see more public art in this city. We've gone to murals, which I think are great. I think things like this could be really great as well for public art.
Oh, yeah, it's great public art. Inside the Guggenheim, it's not really public.
Yeah. Okay, this one specifically, not so great. I think it's required.
But you know what? I don't know when, but back in the day, she had LED scrolls in Times Square. So her art is public.
Yeah.
It has been. She projects on the exterior of buildings.
Right.
And we've done that here. Nadia Hironaka and Matt Suib have projected things on buildings exteriors at night. More of that.
Yeah. More of that. Yeah. Great. That's a lot of meandering. That was pretty good.
Well, we gobbled up a lot of airtime meandering. So maybe we ought to you know, saw it off here and say, let's talk again, reconvene next week, but let's say arrivederci. And this is Roberta saying bye-bye.
And this is Ryan, and this has been the Midweek News on Our Blog Radio. Bye-bye.